you would you take God's word with me here this afternoon and turn to the book of Colossians with me. The book of Colossians and chapter number 1. I'm going to just share my heart with you for just a second. And by the way, I promise I'm planning on being brief and short. I actually don't even have an outline. I did that purposefully so I can just move exegetically through the text and get us in and get us out as quickly as possible. But I do want to share what the Lord's put on my heart. Me and Dad went a couple weeks ago to the Helps Missions Conference. And honestly, just kind of, I think both of us, you know, we're just looking to kind of get a break and get encouraged. And the Lord really dealt with my heart specifically on Tuesday morning of the meeting, just a sermon. I think we all can relate to this. Sometimes there's just sermons that someone preaches that hit you between the eyes. It's like a dart that's meant specifically for you. And the Lord's been really dealing with my heart on some specific things. And I wanted to share my heart. This is not, like I said, I don't have an outline. That this won't be a very well put together mess. I just want to share my heart about some things. But I think the hardest thing for us as Christians, and this may sound odd to you, but the hardest thing for us as Christians, sometimes it sounds simple, but it's keeping Christ the goal. The hardest thing for us to do is to get ourselves out of the way and make Christ the goal. We live in an age where churches are caught up on making other things the goal. And even in good churches like this one, many times we make the goal, although we don't realize it, everything but Christ. We make the goal activity. We make the goal numerical growth. We make the goal result-based something. And we forget that the goal is always Christ. I want us to understand something. We will never be truly thankful throughout our lives like we're supposed to be unless Christ is the only goal. If he is not preeminent, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, what preeminence is, what's the actual biblical definition of preeminence? If he is not the goal, we will never be thankful for that we ought to be thankful. So that being said, I just want to break this passage down. This is a passage that I've been reading a lot lately in my own devotional time, and just a passage the Lord's dealing with me with, and hope that something in here it can speak to you as well. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father. So thankful Sunday, we're setting the precipice here. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of his sins. So if we could stop there, you say, Clay, I don't know everyone's situation. You say, Clay, there's a lot going on in my life right now, and it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be thankful with the physical problems I'm facing or with the family problems that I'm facing. It's hard to be thankful in lieu of everything that is going on. And I like how Paul just sets the precipice. He says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Understand this, the one thing that we are thankful for is the one thing that never changes in our lives. And then he says this, we're thankful for verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We can never be truly thankful for everything going on in our life unless we continually go back to this place in our life where Jesus Christ saved us through his blood. And I'm thankful this morning that we had a soul saved today. And by the way, church, that is something that should fire us up.
Amen.
That should fire us up more than anything. And what should fire you up more than anything to serve the Lord and to be a good Christian and to keep him the goal is this. It's simple. It's the salvation that he has given to you. The redemption price that he paid for your sin. I think it's good for all of us each and every day to go back to the place we were before we found Christ. Because it's not so easy to be thankful when we're in the stage we are now, where we're no longer lost in sin, we're no longer on our way to hell, and we're no longer slaves to sin, because now we're used to being out of the bondage. So it's hard to be thankful because we're living in grace. But if we can go back to the time where we weren't living in grace, if we can go back to the time when we were dead with nothing to offer, we will always be thankful. Go back to this time. And it's good when we share testimonies like this to hear when people were saved, how people were saved, because it keeps us stirred up. Yes. Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Yes. Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to you. Verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, verse number 16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. So that's easy to understand. That's easy for us to get, right? We understand Jesus Christ created everything. But this is the tricky part. All things were created by him and for him. For him. I'm going to say something to you, and I don't mean to sound harsh, but your life is not about you. And my life is not about me. And this church is not about us. And your family ultimately is not about you. Notice what Paul says. All things were created by him. He made it all, but he made it for one purpose. He made it for him. For him. I want you to understand something. The trial that God made and ordained to throw into your life is for him. Your storm is not about you. And your trial and my trials and my difficulties and my insufficiencies are not about me. It's all about him. We struggle with being thankful because we do not make everything about him. When a storm comes to our life, we say this, right? This sounds real spiritual. God is bringing this thing in my life to increase my faith. Well, I've got news for you. It's more than that because it's not about you in the first place. God is doing something in your life for his honor and for his glory. And the only way that we can be truly thankful, the only way that we can truly keep Christ the goal, is by understanding that everything in our lives, everything that comes into our life, is all for his good and for his glory. You know, it's hard for me to be thankful when I'm looking at myself and the difficulties that I'm facing. Right? Because I see what I'm dealing with, and we see what we're dealing with, and we see the problems in front of us, and we fail to see that it's never about us in the first place. That what we're dealing with is all about him. We have to keep him the goal. The hardest thing for us to do is to die daily.
Yes.
To kill our flesh so that Christ can be preeminent. So that he can be first. Verse number 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse number 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. What is this word, preeminence? I'm going to be honest with you. I've read this verse for years, and ever since I've been called to preach, I've just kind of thought preeminence means this, top of the list, top of the chain, right? That's what preeminence is, for Jesus Christ to be the number one priority. And I'm going to confess to you, I've been wrong. Preeminence is not God being first place, and it's not God being top of the list. It's God being the only place, and it's Christ being the only list. He's not a priority. Even if he's the top priority, he's more than just a priority. Listen, church, he is everything. Christ is everything. He's the only goal. If our goal in life is anything but Christ, we will never be truly thankful, and we will never be in love with our Savior like we ought to be in love with him if he is not the only goal. I want to combat something. I want to combat something, right? We hear this all the time, and I want to just make something clear. Following Christ is not going to make you wealthy. Following Christ is not going to make you healthy. Following Christ is not going to mean you're going to get all of your needs wanted. Following Christ does not mean that everything is going to be good for you all the time. That's not what following Christ is. So what is keeping God preeminent? Listen, maybe you pursue health. You pursue good health. You get it, or maybe you don't. What is keeping Christ preeminent? It's continuing to praise him and be thankful to him even when you don't get the good health. It's continuing to trust him and be thankful for him when you do not get the need met. That is keeping Christ preeminent. I want us to consider the author of this text, Paul. I think his testimony, his life, is a clear testimony of keeping Christ the only goal. Can I tell you what the fruit of the gospel was in Paul's life? What he went through by keeping Christ first? He was stoned multiple times. He was imprisoned multiple times. He was beat multiple times. He was betrayed. People turned their back on him. He was made fun of. He was persecuted. He was imprisoned, and ultimately, we know, beheaded. And why? Because Christ was the goal. And yet at the end of his life, knowing he was about to be beheaded, he could still give thanks. And he could still say, I finished my course. Why? Because Paul realized something that most of us can't come to grips with. It's not about me. He came to the realization that although I'm the one suffering, although I'm the one experiencing this pain, although I'm the one that's ultimately going to die, I can be thankful because it's not about me. Amen. And our lives, it's this simple. Our lives are this. Our lives are just vessels of honor meant to glorify a holy God. Amen. That's all that our lives really are. I mean, we can try to make it more complicated if we want to, but ultimately our one purpose is to honor and glorify Him. I want to ask you something that I ask myself. Could you be truly thankful? Could I be truly thankful if Christ was all you had? I hear this phrase in America, and it kind of bugs me because I'll explain it. But we hear this kind of phrase, right? When you come to the realization that Christ is all you have, you discover He's all you need. We've heard something like that. All right, here's the problem with most Americans that use that phrase. We've never been to a place where Christ is all we have. I told my Sunday school class this. I was reading my Voice of the Martyrs letter that I got recently, a couple months ago. And it told the story about a young girl living in Iraq. She grew up in a Muslim family, Muslim neighborhood. I mean, everyone around her was Muslim. And we know how Muslims are. Society can paint you one picture, but let me tell you what Muslims do. They believe to kill the infidel. I'm not going to sugarcoat things for you. This young 15-year-old girl gets gloriously saved. Christ becomes the goal. And you know what the fruit of the gospel was in her life? She was shot 5 times in the stomach for professing Christ's name in a Muslim neighborhood. It's easy for me to sit back and say, when Christ is all I have, He's all I need. But when I put my place, when I put myself in the shoes of this 15-year-old girl, I want you to understand something. Christ was all she had. And there was times in Paul's life where when he was in prison, or when he's rising up from being stoned, where Christ was literally all that he had. And we say this, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I have, so He'll all I need. And we just came back from eating a meal. Right? We say Christ is all I have and He's all that I need, but we're going to sleep under our roofs tonight. We're getting in our vehicles to drive home. Could we truly be thankful, and I'm asking myself this, could we truly be thankful if all we had was Christ? And ask yourself this question, ask yourself the next question as I'm asking myself, is He really the goal in your life? See, we bash people that believe in the prosperity gospel, right? And I do it more than anybody. I think I say something about the prosperity gospel every time I'm in my Sunday school class. I hate it. I hate the prosperity gospel. It's false teaching. It's sending people to hell, ultimately. Yeah. I hate it. But you know what? We preach against that, but we get caught up in that. If we're honest, most of the things that we proclaim to be thankful for is not the nature of who God is. It's what God has given us. I want to ask you this. What if God never gives you anything else? What if Christ doesn't bless you again? Listen, is He enough? Is He enough? What I'm convicted about in my life is that many times I go throughout the day and I make good things the goal, but ultimately Christ is not my ultimate goal. What I struggle with the most is that I fear that if Christ was all I had, I couldn't be grateful. And if Christ was all I had, I couldn't serve Him faithfully. I'll give you a couple more examples and I'll close. Remember the disciples in the book of Acts, they're brought to a court, right? Because they're proclaiming, they're preaching Christ's name. And the court tells them, if you don't stop, we're going to beat you to death. And I'm paraphrasing here. They say, if you don't stop proclaiming the name of Christ, we're going to beat you to death. And what do the disciples say? Do what you need to do, but we cannot help but proclaiming the things which we have seen and heard. So they go out and they continue to preach Christ's name. And what happens? The disciples get beat nearly to death. They're walking away bloodied, bruised, broken. And the Bible, what does it say that they're doing in the book of Acts? They're rejoicing. I want you to understand something. If the disciples can rejoice after being beat to death, understand this. Christ can overcome the most horrific of circumstances. He is greater than anything that we could face in life. What about Jeremiah? We don't talk about Jeremiah. Let me tell you what Jeremiah's ministry was. He was called to suffer for Christ. Jeremiah never had a convert. Do you guys know that? No one was ever saved under Jeremiah's ministry. No one was ever saved. No one was ever brought to the Lord by Jeremiah's ministry. You know, all that Jeremiah did was suffer for Christ. He did that because Christ used him as a picture of Christ's own suffering in the Old Testament. That's why Jeremiah's there. His ministry was not to see numbers. His ministry was not to see results. His ministry was to suffer so that he could be a picture of Christ suffering for us. But you know what? Jeremiah was faithful in fulfilling his ministry. Why? Because what? Christ was enough. Christ was the goal. And we talk about being thankful. When we talk about Thankful Sunday, ultimately, things change. And I talked about this earlier. There's all kinds of things changing in my life right now. I mean, I'm seeing that. Me and my wife's life. I mean, everything's changing. Things change all the time. And many times it's hard to be thankful with everything around us that's changing and going wrong or whatever the case may be. But we have to be thankful about the one thing that never changes. And I want to encourage you, church, and I'm preaching to myself more than I am y'all. I want you to understand that. We have to keep Christ the goal. Let's not get so caught up in all reaching the numbers and numerical status and et cetera, et cetera. Let's just get caught up in Christ. Is he preeminent? Not top of the list, is he the list? Not top of the chain, is he the chain? Listen, church, he's enough. He's enough. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you be with me. Lord, I know you've been working with me on this, and Lord, it's so hard for us to get ourselves out of the way so you can fulfill your purpose. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and me, Lord, to view every circumstance in life. Lord, not look at it as look what it's doing to me. Lord, it's not about us. Yeah. Lord, help us to, Lord, just accept your sovereignty. Lord, to just be content in your plan. Lord, if we don't understand it, if we don't get it, if it doesn't make sense to us, Lord, you're enough. Help us just to be content in your plan. We love you. Thank you for how many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.